This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, I'm Rekha Sharma, and I played Landry on Star Trek Discovery. You are listening to The Edge on Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of The Edge, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to Star Trek Discovery. I'm your host, Amy Nelson, and with me, as he always is, my trusted partner in crime, Patrick Devlin. Patrick, how are you today?
I'm good. I was better a week ago when I was on vacation, but I'm good now.
Yeah, so now you get to be on vacation while I'm stuck here working.
Yes, you can follow me around the world. I'll be going away again in 5 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, last time, our discussion was so much fun with Haley. We talked about the actors of Discovery, and we just had to have her back. Haley Stoddart from Standard Orbit is in the house. Haley, how are you?
Yes. Hi. I'm good. How are you guys? Oh. Glad to be here again.
Yes, so good. I love talking about the actors, and, you know, experiencing STLV with you has been just a highlight this year. So,
yes, it definitely was. It was so nice to actually, I think, you know, we had met last year and spent a little time, but then this year we got to spend a lot more time together, and that was really, really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick, you missed out.
Yep. Yeah. Patrick's coming next year.
Apparently.
But Haley won't be. But huh, no. Hit and miss.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Patrick, I just outed you.
Now I have to show up. That's right. People are going to be looking for me.
That's all right. I think everyone's going to be like, you'll be there. You'll be there. And yeah. I'm going to just be like continuously disappointing everybody.
Well, we'll carry around a picture of you so you're in the pictures.
Yes. There you go. Someone needs to get like a big cardboard cut out of my head and carry it around on a big stick.
That can be arranged. When we get our Trek FM hosts, I'll hold you up there.
Yes. Sounds perfect.
Well, we were unable to talk about all the amazing characters, so we had to have a part two to talk about the rest of the character or the actors who play in Discovery and just their amazing contribution to Discovery, the show, and this whole social media fandom that we have here with Star Trek Discovery. So wanted to pick up where we left off and talk about Emily Kootz, and she plays Kayla Detmer. So Haley, what did you think of Emily?
You know, I really enjoy the character. I kind of want more story because, you know, we see her and she doesn't have the thing around her eye and going down the side of her face. And then the next time we see her, she does. And I'm like, wait, what happened? Like, how did this happen? What is this? Like, is it allowing her to see? Anyway, but she's beautiful. She, I haven't followed her on social media yet, but I know she's a lot like the other actors in Discovery and has that social media presence. And I think recently she is nominated or won an award. No, nominated in Canadian film for something as a up and coming actress or something like that. Oh, so nice. That's really exciting. Super exciting for her. I did not see her on the panel. Were you in on that panel, Amy?
Yeah.
I think that was the one I missed. And
yeah.
I know. Sorry.
Yeah, she is just so put together. And the question was asked, like, you know, well, what do you like, you know, about filming? And, you know, she, again, iterates that just when everyone's on the bridge, that's her favorite time of filming. And she even pointed out that she enjoys when Jonathan Frakes is directing and that she gets to talk to him. I mean, who wouldn't love that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, they sort of swap stories about when TNG, the whole thing, everyone was on the bridge and, you know, how that's similar now because now everyone's on the bridge of Discovery. She, I think, is really watching Sonequa Martin-Green, and she talked about how, again, how amazing Sonequa is at being this, you know, leading actor. And she credits Sonequa with being, having this amazing amount of creativity, that she's always joyful, organized, and that Sonequa is really building this family, and that that's what helps get through those long days of filming. And it seems like with her description of Sonequa, I'm like, she's taking notes, because I'm thinking, Emily, I think we're going to see a lot more of her. And I think that she is off to do some really amazing, good acting in her future. I could see her as definitely a leading actor like Sonequa with her own series somewhere down the line.
Yeah, and she's a beautiful redhead.
Mm-hmm.
Very. And I know, so we just had, if any of our listeners know Bill and Dan from over at Trek Geeks, they were at a convention this weekend, and they actually got to talk with her a little bit, and they said that it was just super fun to talk with her. So I think it was her. Maybe not. Now I don't remember. Oh my gosh, I could be wrong. It's been a long weekend. You know, okay, we're going to find out. You guys talk. I'll figure it out. I'll make sure that I'm right.
So I don't know much about her, but the few little clips I've seen, she really seems to understand what it means to be on Star Trek, which is the most important thing to me, because unfortunately I didn't go to Vegas. Like, we keep going over. So I didn't get to see the panels and stuff, but so I can only see clips here and there. And it seems like, and we've said this with everyone else, they understand the gravity of being a Star Trek cast member. It's not just a TV show to the diehard fans. I'm sure there's a segment of the population that just watches and moves on, and that's fine too. Everyone watches and consumes how they want. But for people like us who are doing podcasts about this, the message is almost more important than the show. And this whole cast seems to really understand that.
Yeah, she talked about that on the panel too. It's like, yeah, and they all recognize, and she pointed out, like, you've got this major history, and it is almost a weight, you know, and that you're carrying on this mantle that is Star Trek. And she just feels that it's an exciting part to be included, you know, and that's so great, because I think you can see that definitely when she is on panels and she's interacting with the fans, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs and stuff. So
I stand corrected. It was not Emily, but it is the next actress that we're talking about that they were able to talk to. So
there we go. Okay. Well, listeners, if you want to follow Emily Coutts on Facebook, she is at Coutts Emily, CoutsEmily. So on to the next one that Bill and Dan were talking to, Sarah Middich, who plays Arium. So, Haley.
Yeah, you know, she, it's crazy. So her role in the show is just, it's amazing. I'm amazed that the makeup that they do for her, but she is very gorgeous. She's a beautiful actress. And I'm really excited to see more of her in the next season, because we have her a little bit, but we don't get to see a whole lot of her. She came to SDLV. This was her first time as well. She is on social media. I do think I follow her. I don't remember everybody that I follow now at this point. And I think it's great that all of these, I mean, you know, we would all love to be on Star Trek. I think, you know, that would be the dream for all of us. But it is such a responsibility, because you're carrying on something that is so long-standing. I mean, it has to be nerve-wracking to be in the show, but I think they all take it so gracefully. you probably saw her. She was probably on that panel with Emily that, yeah, I just was not in on that one.
So it was, yes, I did see her, and she's really just so amazing. And it seems like she's the younger one a little bit. And so she, again, I can see her just sopping up all the knowledge of the older actors. And it was real cute. She has a great interaction with the fans. One of the questions at STLV was, you know, because they film in Toronto. And so the question was, well, what do you do when you're not filming, you know, on location up at Toronto? And she just went straight in. She was the first one to answer. She loves Rock and Horse Country Bar in Toronto, and she just loves country music. And so she would go out to country dance and everything like that. And I thought, man, that's so cool. She's just a regular person, you know, and it was a fun little story that she shared with us.
Oh, that's crazy. You know, and I love that. I think that, you know, we tend to forget that they're especially a lot of the ones where this is probably their first kind of major role, just because it is Star Trek. I mean, really, it's going to be a major role, even if you're just in the background. But, you know, a lot of these up and coming actors and actresses, you know, we tend to forget they're just people.
Yeah. Yeah, she mentioned that, you know, when she got the part, and, you know, so she's on social media and Twitter, and she's like, you know, everyone was so nice on Twitter, and, you know, everyone was welcoming. And she's like, but then coming to STLV, this is her first convention, and she was just blown away. She's like, this is a whole different level of welcoming and love and that I'm feeling. And so she was very, I think, honored and humbled that we just all adored her so much. So that was really cute for her to see that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's great, especially where, you know, it is, we are so heavily involved in social media now that being able to experience that appreciation and respect and love in person from the fans definitely outweighs a lot of the negativity that they probably get on Twitter because people are jerks.
Yeah, sometimes they are. Yeah.
Well, especially when they can hide behind a screen.
I know.
Some of those people were in that room cheering for her. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah. But they won't do it in person. So it makes it a little easier, I guess. But it's cool that she's a country fan. I love country. And that's odd coming from a New Yorker, but I love country music. And now I know where to go if I'm ever in Toronto.
Exactly. Yeah. Rock and Horse. she was actually one of the few that actually didn't watch Star Trek going up. She, of course, knew of it. I mean, who doesn't know of Star Trek? But, you know, she says even though she didn't watch it, she definitely respects the shows and the ideas and philosophy that Star Trek embeds. So,
yeah, you can't hold that against her too much. I mean, Franks didn't even know what the show was when he got hired. Yeah. So he did pretty well.
Yeah. So if you'd like to follow Sarah, she is at Sarah Mittich. All right. On to, now I have been practicing, Oyin Oladejo, who plays Joanne Owasakun. See, I didn't practice that one, but
way better than this, I would have done.
Okay.
I would have butchered that. So
I butchered John Smith. So that would have been way out of line for me.
So Oyin, it was very interesting to see her on the panel, and because I think she gets overlooked sometimes, because I think I've seen Sarah and Emily before, but Oyin, so she came out and just, okay, first of all, love her accent. And she, again, is, I think, one of the younger ones, and she has this deep, like, introspective of what Star Trek is. And when asked, you know, why she is enjoying Star Trek and stuff, and how she goes about reading the script, and she says, when you read the script, she's like, on some level, you are forced to be a better human being. And she talks about the ideas of Star Trek and how just by reading the script, you really do have to be a better human being, and that it seeps in, even though you're just playing this part. It's just a fiction. It's just TV. but how it's written and the characters and how, you know, they interact, that you are actually a better person because of that. And what better way to, you know, really just embrace Star Trek? I was very impressed with Oyun.
I don't think you couldn't be in Star Trek and not pick up on that. I mean, even if it's not right off the bat, you're going to end up at some point embracing that and picking up on those things and taking it to heart. Because, I mean, I think as the fans, there's a lot of fans, we're going to know if you're not, even if it's, because it's just, even though it's just a TV show, we pick up on those nuances. And I think that at some point you are going to reach that point. So that's really great that she's recognized that so soon in her role. So
I think it's great that she even like has the conviction to say it, you know, that she doesn't want to be a fraud. She wants this, this ideal to be part of who she is, not just something she plays on TV. And I think for some actors, it's easy to separate those two things greatly. But I don't think this is, like you were saying, Haley, we would pick up on it. It's kind of useless for her to try that, because eventually we'd know it and be like, I really don't like that character anymore. Even though there's nothing wrong necessarily with the character, or even the actor themselves, just the fact they don't really believe what they're saying is the problem.
Yeah.
There's a genuineness to the ideals that you can pick up on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this might be the largest cast that's ever felt that way completely together in Star Trek. I mean, you know, I said it in the last podcast, I don't really follow actors. I do now more with this one, actually, but I don't typically, and there's reasons for it, but I don't know necessarily if everyone always bought in completely to what they were acting before. And I feel like everyone here is buying into Star Trek's message.
So. Yeah, she definitely does. You can see that. She told actually an interesting story when she was on the panel that we're actually pretty lucky to have her, because she was done acting. She's like, I'm done. I'm leaving California. I'm done. I've had it. And her agent was like, okay, just go to one more audition. And it was Star Trek Discovery. And 2 days, and she was hired by just sending off her tape. It wasn't Yeah. And so 2 days after she sent off the tape, she got the part. And so she is still an actor today because of Star Trek Discovery. Yay!
That's awesome.
And an agent who desperately wanted to get paid one last time.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
And it was interesting because, you know, she's African-American, and it was commented, like, did the makeup people or the script writers, did they tell you how to wear your hair? And it was interesting because she sort of looked and was like, gosh, the thought never even came across my mind. I'm just wearing my hair the way I wear it, you know? And so again, recognizing and embracing this diversity that the writers are having, and respecting, you know, everyone's personal culture. And, you know, I just think is really evident, because she's like, no, I got to choose how I wear my hair, and this is how I wear my hair. So that's how I am. You know, and so I thought that was pretty awesome too, to recognize and show the diversity on Discovery.
Yeah, no, that's great. I appreciate that. I think that's really something that helps the cast become closer together, and the writers, because you don't want that disconnect from the writers. You want I think the writers and the actors themselves need to work together, because the actors are going to get a feel for their character from the writers, but then I think they're also going to have ideas of their own, and to allow that that's wonderful.
Well, I find that interesting, because usually, you know, you do a big production like this, like Star Trek, and you want to nail down every hair to where it's going to be, not just the style. And instead, I would have never thought they were just letting the actors and actresses somewhat decide how they look. In general, but to see that they're letting them be themselves while being their character is even better.
It is. Yep. It's good. So if you would like to follow her on Twitter, she is at Oyin Oldejo, OyinOledejo. There we go. All right, on to, yay, Jane Brooke, who plays Admiral Cornwell. She is amazing, Jane Brooke. I'm so excited that she is on Discovery. She's been on so many other shows, but she's just amazing and got to see her. This was her first convention at STLV, so it was just great. And she loved every part of it. She was just, you know, seeing her, and she was on a couple different panels. Talking to her, I actually went up and said hi to her because I just think she's amazing. She was just so gracious in person, and you could tell her excitement for being at STLV was just brimming over. She was just so happy to be there. So I love Jane Brooke. I think she does a great, great job. Haley?
Yeah. Again, that was the other panel I missed, but there was a lot I missed. We'll just call it at that. No, I think it's great. You know, she's so fun. It was, and it's wonderful to see her. I was totally on board with her character from the get go, and There was some stuff, and I was just like, yeah, from a psychologist perspective, she's going to pick up on that and know that something's up. Anyway, but no, I think it's great. She's very interactive with people and with fans and stuff, and I love it. I think, you know, it's just one of those, it's so fun to see these guys come into it and embrace it and not feel overwhelmed. Like, it's easy to feel overwhelmed, especially when it's your first time coming to the convention. I mean, as a fan, your first time going, it's overwhelming. I can only imagine what it would be for the actors themselves, and to feel comfortable walking around and interacting with us fans, you know, in the hallways. I had, you know, with Rekha Sharma, I went up and just talked to her in the hall. And, you know, and to be so wonderful and for them to just totally embrace that, I think it's great, and not be off-putting. I think it's easy for them to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm busy, or, oh, I'm going somewhere, is really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So last podcast, you had brought up that her and Laurel reenacted the Scream, right? Now, yeah. I think you said that she wasn't the one that was shy about it, right? It was Laurel.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool that she was like all ready and willing to just scream in the middle of a convention, and it shows like that she really likes playing this character in general. You know, she enjoys the fandom of all of this.
Yes, she does. I was going to tell the story again. You know, one of the questions from the audience was like, you know, how was it, you know, working with Mary Chifo and stuff like that, and would you reenact the Scream? And Jane Brooke just turned right to Mary and was like, and just bam, spouted off her line. And Mary Chifo was like, oh my gosh, da, da, da. You know, what do I do? All this is, and you know, she sort of hummed and hawed, but like Jane Brooke was like, here's the line, pick it up, let's do it. And it just such a professional, and that she, I mean, not, you know, showing off or anything like that, but just, you know, wanting to give the fans what they wanted. And I just thought that was so amazing for Jane and Mary to do that. And that recreation was, it was epic. I will never forget that. They were just, and I said this last show, they just clicked, got into character, and that Scream, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm watching it on TV all over again. They were that good.
And they've probably, you know, memorized the hundreds of lines since then and still remembered it too. Some people don't know what they had for breakfast.
You know, yeah. So, no.
Like, I have a decently good memory, but I don't know if I can remember lines from 7 episodes ago if I was had to, even if they were my lines. So that's pretty interesting in and of itself. But they didn't just do the Scream. They did the lines into the Scream.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think she does such a good job with balancing her personal life, you know, being a mother and everything, with, you know, her acting career. You know, she was on Chicago Hope. I unfortunately didn't have a chance to see that. But, you know, I mean, she's been around and, you know, has acted quite a bit of her life. So it's just nice to see her, you know, come into Discovery with her experience and, you know, lend her skills to this amazing show. I have all the respect for Jane Brooke. I love her.
Well, it's also great because it's another person from another type of acting.
Right.
You know, like Star Trek doesn't just find people that are good at sci-fi.
Right.
They find people from all over. They get people off of Broadway style and movies, yes, and dramas and they mix it all together and they come up with Discovery or whatever. Name Star Trek and this is how they put these casts together, which is great.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
Yeah. So if you would like to follow Jane, she is on Twitter at the Jane Brooke. Hey, on to one of Haley's favorite, James Frayne, who plays Sarek. So talk to me, Haley, about James Frayne. And yes, tell me all about him.
Oh, my gosh.
For him.
Yeah. So I know that, you know, some people, they're not crazy about this version of Sarek that we're getting. And I know a lot of people, Mark Lenard is Sarek for them. I actually really like his portrayal up to this point. I think it's Sarek before he has made a lot of choices and lessons in his life that will lead him to the Sarek that we all know. So we're putting that aside. And, yeah, so James Frayne, oh my gosh, I adore him. He's, mostly because I've watched him in other roles. So, if any of the listeners know of The Tudors, he was in that, and, he played, Cromwell in The Tudors. But the other thing that I really love James Frayne for is he was in this little fun show that was also out of Toronto called Orphan Black. And He plays this amazing character, Ferdinand. And like so many of the characters in this show, you just don't know if you trust him, if you like him, if you don't like him, if you don't trust him, you just don't know. But He's done a lot. He's also been in Gotham, if anybody has watched that as well. I started watching it and then I kind of fell off and it's on the back burner of something I need to watch. But he's done a lot and it's, you know, he's just one of those actors. He's very distinctive. He's got a distinctive look and a voice. And I think he portrays a lot of characters that you want to like, but you just don't know if you should.
Mm.
He's one of those kind. And it's really great. They're not villains per se, but they're just, you're just like, you're just left questioning, but he's just so fun to watch on screen.
Yes, he is.
Patrick? And
I'm so glad you said he was in Gotham because when I saw him on Discovery, I couldn't remember where I know him from. And I just figured it out at this point.
Oh, wow. And,
so other than that, I really don't know anything about him. I agree with you, Haley. I like his portrayal of Sarek. I like the way he's doing it. But it is very similar to his Gotham character, the way he's acting it, if I'm thinking of the right character in Gotham. But so it's right in his wheelhouse, and I think it's a good fit. I think they picked a good person to play Sarek before he realizes that he's made mistakes.
Mm-hmm. He's also done a lot of theater. So he's another one of our actors from Over the Pond. And so he's done a lot of theater as well. So he has that theater background, which is really great. So did you want to say something, Amy?
Yeah. Now he was slotted to come to STLV, but unfortunately,
I was totally bummed because that was... There was two photo ops I bought the moment they dropped, and his was one of them. I was really bummed that he couldn't come because I had my Orphan Black shirt that I was going to wear, and I was going to be like, yay! Because, I mean, and I, you know, I wanted to ask him something about Orphan Black if he was going to do a panel, and he wasn't there. So I was bummed, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully another time. So, yes. Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, it was sad to hear that he, you know, wasn't able to come, you know, completely understandable with his work schedule and everything. Happens. So, yeah. But I agree with you. I think he does a great Sarek. I have liked every iteration of Sarek. I think that they have done so good. And James Frain takes on the mantle. I mean, he mm-hmm. just really embraces this idea of Sarek, and I think he understands. And I think you can see his theater background because he has this air and this posture that just really
he emotes really well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I am very impressed with James Frain and look forward to getting to know him a little bit better. And hopefully he'll come next year to STLV so we can adore him just as much.
Yeah. So I was just looking up to make sure that I was right. He actually is Theo Gallivan in Gotham, but he's also Jarvis in Tron Legacy. He's also in True Detectives, Agent Carter. Like he couldn't possibly make it to a convention with his schedule.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he's super, super, super busy. And I will say, if listeners want to follow him on Twitter, he is at Britt J Frain. So that's BritjFrain. Oh, and you good. Should. He tweets a lot about, you know, like a lot of them, he's very involved in politics and stuff. But it's super fun to follow him on Twitter. I do. So.
Yeah, I do follow him, and I'm surprised I don't have that in my notes.
There, I did it for you because I was just so excited to talk about it.
Yes. All right. So a surprise was seeing Kenneth Mitchell, who plays Cole, and his announcement at STLV, because we know Cole was killed in the first two episodes. Well, the second episode. And so you're like, well, what, you know, why is he even here? Was sort of going through the back of my mind. He came to STLV. So this is his, he came to STLV last year. So this is his second convention. And of course, when he was there, you know, in 17, it was like, oh yeah, well, here's Cole. We didn't know anything about the Klingons, and you know, he's there with Mary Chifo. And so it's like, yeah, well, here's these Klingons. And then we watched Discovery, and then bam, he's dead. And it's like, what's going on? And so then seeing him this year, I'm like, why? I mean, love, but in the back of my mind, why are you here? You're dead, and you were on only, you know, a few episodes.
Yay, you're in as many episodes as conventions.
Yeah. But we got this amazing announcement that Kenneth Mitchell is coming back, not as Cole, but he is coming back on season two. So I'm very, very excited to see what he's going to do for season two. Did you see his panel at all, Haley, or was that...
Nope. I know. I'm a bad Trekkie.
No.
It just wasn't there.
There's just totally understandable. But I think, and I say this with all the love, but he likes talking. He's one of those just outgoing personalities. And so whenever there was a question, he was like first or second to answer. And I love that. His enthusiasm and excitement was just overflowing. It was so cute. And so he loves, just the whole Star Trek. And when he, got the part, you know, he was already familiar with TNG. He listed that first. Yay. But he knows the original series. And so he watched all of those, and then he focused on just the Klingon episodes. And he does say that now Wrath of Khan is his favorite movie. So there you go.
Understandable. Yes. Yeah, I remember him last year talking about that he was watching the Klingon episodes so that he could kind of get that backstory and gain some background and whatnot on. And yeah, that'll be interesting to see what they're going to do. I mean, he could be some other type of alien species, or maybe a human.
Yeah, I mean, he could be anything, because that Cole makeup, like, you wouldn't recognize his face at all.
Or his voice, really.
Oh, yeah. Because, when on the panel, he was asked, could you speak some Klingon? And he's like, yes, I created this voice and it's very deep. And he just went into Kull and he just started performing for us. It was so great. And so, that character, including the voice that he had for Kull, Kenneth Mitchell could be someone completely different and we would never make the connection that that was Kull, because he created this whole personality for Kull. It was interesting because he also, as I guess a lot of scenes that happen end up cut on the floor. Mm-hmm. And he was like, because he had to learn Klingon. So him and Mary, Chifo had to work with his dialect coach and everything. And he's like, I'd have the scripts up on my wall and I would look at the symbols. And I mean, learning this whole new foreign language, literally foreign made up language. And he learned this scene and he was so proud of it. And then it was cut on the chopping block, and he's like, what happened to that scene?
But, that's brutal.
Yeah.
But look, it's a credit to him how much work he put in, knowing he only had two episodes. And thankfully, they're bringing him back for it. That is a major reason why he's going to be on the show again. I'm sure of it. No one's told me that, obviously, because I don't know anybody. But you don't put in that much work and no one takes notice.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of actors that would go, I got two scenes, two shows. Awesome. Mail it in and get through it.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. So I just, you can see when he's talking to us and, interacting, he loves the fandom. And he says that we help him keep the passion and he loves our energy and stuff like that. So he was, again, just very grateful to be back, because this is now his second convention. So we just hope that he keeps on coming back because he's awesome. He's so fun to watch. And he is also on Twitter at Mr. Ken Mitchell. That's MrKenMitchell. All right. On to Rekha Sharma, who plays Landry. Again, another wish that we could have seen more from her. We got to see her. Actually, we got to see both, right? Because we saw her Prime and Mirror. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. So talk to me about Rekha.
Yeah, she, super interesting character. She's wonderful and sweet. Like I said a little bit ago, I was in the hallway and I was actually with Shashank. We were walking around and he saw her and he wanted to give her one of his pins or something. And so we actually got to, the two of us chatted with her for a little bit and it was so much fun. And she was so pleasant. I mean, it was just one of those random chance encounters and she could have said, no, I'm sorry, I have to go. But again, they want to embrace us just like we're embracing them. And it's really beautiful that we're getting this opportunity. And she was super, super nice, but we didn't get to see a whole lot of her before she left.
She was one that made me cry during her panel. She is so passionate and just understands what Star Trek means. And that she understands, like she said, the expanse and the time involved with being in a franchise like this. And her introduction to Star Trek, she remembers that she was in grade 4 and her brother introduced her to the original reruns. And it was funny because her brother sort of spoiled it and her brother was like, hey, you see those doors that they open automatically? There's two guys behind the set opening the doors. She's like, what are you doing? You're ruining it. And he's like, yeah, they add those sound effects, the swoosh after. And so it was pretty cute. She remembers watching that, but when she talks about, her memories of watching TOS, She got very emotional, which of course got me going. And she said she would come home from school and get her milk and cookies and watch TOS. And here she was, this little brown girl living in a white community. And that was the first show that gave her hope for a future where everyone can be equal. And it didn't matter what you look like or what you spoke or who you loved. And her telling this to us, seriously, I was crying. And again, recognizing the diversity, even back in the original series, like this is a place where we can all be equal. We can do what we want to do. We can be on the bridge. We can be an engineer. We have the opportunities because humanity is a better place. And she definitely understands that. And I just am so grateful that I had the chance to see her and get to know her a little bit through that panel.
That was another one I missed.
That was another one I missed too. I wasn't at that.
Yeah.
One. I tried to make as many as I could, but it's a long drive from my hotel.
Yeah.
But,
well, no. And it was interesting because when, you know, they opened it up to fan questions and one of the, you know, someone came up to the mic and was like, this question's for Reka. And she's like, is that you? So-and-so? I can't remember the name. And I'm like, she knew the person asking the question. I'm like, who does that? Who knows their fans well enough that's like, oh, hi, how you doing, so-and-so? Like, I was just super impressed that amongst all the fans, one person came up and that she knew them. I super impressed with Reka.
Yeah,
totally.
The people they picked for these roles, forget the roles, forget the scripts, the people they picked were amazing. And all in their own ways, in different ways, and it seems like they all really, really care. I keep saying it over and over again because I unfortunately don't know these actors as well as I should, but they really did pick the perfect people for these roles for us. That it extends past the TV screen and into these conventions and on social media and everything else. That we want to like them because we like them as people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And she continued to say that she was grateful to have a woman of color as the leading role and how important that was for, you know, our day right now to have Sonequa there and the representation and that she has the opportunity to learn from her and that Sonequa is a good example. And I'm just like, Reka, you've been in so many other things, you know, and she talked about, you know, being in major fandoms because she was on Babylon or come on. She's like a major.
Oh, Battlestar.
Battlestar. Yeah. Okay.
Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So she talks about her being on, you know, two major fandoms, you know, with Star Trek and Battlestar. Like she's an icon really, you know,
yeah.
Look at these two major sci-fi franchises. And, you know, so for her to be involved with Star Trek is just really, really awesome. And Brandon from our own Warp 5 and previous host of The Edge, he got to meet her at the convention up in Canada. Patrick, do you remember the name of that convention? It was
the Vulcan.
Yeah, the Vulcan.
Yeah, the Vulcan.
Because it's in Vulcan, Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
It is.
And so if you remember the beginning of the show, Brandon was able to get Reka to record our little opening. Yes. So that's why yes. You hear that.
And he also did a podcast from there that's on the Warp 5 feed. By the time this drops, it'll be like a month and a half ago. But like a month and a half, if you go back like a month and a half, there was one that dropped on a Tuesday. And that was, it'll give you more information about what he did and saw at that convention. So,
yeah. But yeah, he met her and yeah, he didn't have anything negative to say, of course. So, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, you know, she was great, the brief little bit that I got to talk to her. So,
yeah,
truly wonderful. And I got a hug.
Oh,
so. I get no hugs.
I need to be more outgoing. So,
I'm a hugger. So.
I need to just get there.
Yeah, so it was interesting because on Earl Grey, we interviewed Tim Dzarn, who was an alien on Spaceship Mine. and Starship Mine. Sorry.
I was like, Spaceship Mine. I know,
yeah. Starship Mine.
That's a new show.
And Tim was there at STLV, and he's like, you know, one of the things that sort of not bothered, but, you know, he found interesting was that people would always walk by and not interact. And he's like, I didn't like that. I wanted to talk to everyone. And I was like, that's so good to hear, because I'm always so worried that I'm going to interrupt, or, you know, that I'm imposing. And I really need to just get over that, because I don't want to miss out on these amazing interactions. Like, I really would never have approached Reka just seeing her in the hall. I'd be like, oh, there she is. And then go about my merry way.
You know, I think what it is you have to do it with, and, you know, it's respectful, you know, yes. and, you know, if they're talking with someone, don't interrupt them, and just kind of wait for that moment and be like, oh, I don't want to bother you, but that's usually how I go into it. I'm sorry to bother you, but, and usually most of the time they're like, oh, you're not bothering me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then because I am a hugger, I'll be like, if they go in for a hug first, that's fine, you know, but sometimes I'll be like, can I give you a hug?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Next year, that's my goal. I will be, yeah. I will carry the Haley well, mojo.
You'll have the head. So
yes.
I'm acting in behalf of Haley. Give me a hug.
Yes.
As long as you don't
tackle them on the way to the staircase, I think it's okay.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Yeah. All right. So Reka is on Twitter. And if you would like to follow her, she's at Reka Sharma. R-E-K-H-A-S-H-A-R-M-A. Okay. So Sam Bartholomeos, who plays Danby Connor, and we also saw him in the mirror as Captain Connor, the one who lovingly Burnham kills in the elevator, turbo lift. Yeah. Sam is a hoot, and I saw him just throughout the entire convention. So he was on a couple panels. This is his second convention. He was there also last year at STLV at 17. So did you see, or what do you think of our dear friend Sam?
I remember him last year, you know, just the excitement that he had coming into this whole crazy madness that we've got here. Again, not one that I saw this year, but you know, his character was really fun, poor guy. I mean, maybe we'll get him back in some alien makeup, because in both universes, he's dead. But, you know, poor guy.
Yeah, he was so fun on the panel because he was totally like kidding and, you know, just like, yep. Don't get in an elevator with Sonequa, because she'll just stab you in the gut, you know? And so it was just sort of this running joke. It was so funny. I just think he really embraced it. I saw him. He also, and I forgot to mention with Sarah and Emily, that they did some Star Trek trivia. And the winners, then they would come out and they gave them their prize for winning the trivia. And so they were like doing odds and ends, bits and pieces throughout the convention, you know, with different interactions and stuff like that. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to assume it was creation telling them this is sort of what they had to do. I don't know. But maybe. Even so, when they were out there, they were just so, I mean, especially during the trivia, they're like, how did you know these answers, you know? And Sam is just a hoot. He is one also who is just very outgoing, likes to talk, and you could just see his love and excitement, and he really feeds off of us fans and stuff like that. I'm very impressed, and I wish we could see him more. He didn't make any announcement. I don't know if we'll see him in season 2 or not.
If I were him, anytime Sonequa like tweets out about something, like on a show that she's on or something, just like randomly throw in the "don't get an elevator with her, she'll stab you in the gut."
Or a picture of like the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. something random. But it's kind of sad because he, like you said, he's really fun and everything, and then he's dead everywhere. He's like the ultimate red shirt. So
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he is our red shirt, and we love him for it.
He is another one that Bill and Dan got to talk with at GraniteCon this weekend. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Yeah, maybe they got something.
Yeah, maybe. We'll have to listen to Trek Geeks. But he does remember watching Star Trek. Again, he's sort of a younger one. And he says his favorite movie is the one with the whales. And so we all know what that is. Yeah. So if you would like to follow him, he is on Twitter as well, at Sam Bartholomeos. I think I said that name right. Okay, so let's talk about Rainn Wilson. He was there. He was on a couple panels, and he did one that was just himself, which I thought was pretty impressive for just being we saw him on two episodes, not even a main cast. Like, here he is, just a special, invitee. And he's got his own panel, but he did have exciting news that he shared. Well, we already knew from San Diego Comic-Con that one of those mini episodes, mm-hmm. what are they called again? The mini
short treks.
Yep, the short treks. That one will be specifically about him. So talk to me about Rainn Wilson, and did you watch him on The Office?
Go ahead, Patrick.
No, I don't. I don't watch The Office at all. I don't like The Office at all. But I do like him in this role. I thought he played it perfectly, and he really embraced being Harry Mudd, when that could go real sideways real quick when you're trying to be a character that already exists. Mm-hmm. And and really the hardest part here again is you're playing a character before we know them. So you can't go too far from what we saw, but you can't go too exact because people will complain either way. So you have to figure out the middle ground, and they wrote it well, and he pulled it off well. And I liked him in the show. I liked his episode, where he just kept repeating time, which a lot of people don't like those time jumble episodes. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
But I did. I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. I thought some of the other stuff that happened in that episode was a little weird, but he did it well.
I totally agree. Again, his was one that I missed, but I heard about his panel, and I applaud him, and I'm not worthy of him calling people out for not paying to watch Discovery. I thought that was great. I've seen it because you can find it on YouTube, and it's hilarious because yes. It's exactly what I have been saying all along. Cut out one of your fancy coffees from whatever coffee place you like to go to, just even once a month. And that pays for your entire month. Stop whining about it, especially these people who just jumped on that $2,500 Roddenberry computer, Captain Picard's virtual computer reality thing that they had there. They sold out within seconds of them going online. Okay, if you're going to complain about $6 a month and mm-hmm. you bought that thing, mm-hmm. mm-mm.
So wait, I didn't hear that. He called people out for not paying for the service?
Yeah, he called out people about whining for paying. I have the one with commercials, so it's $5.99 a month. And he called people out who will not pay for it and refuse to pay for it and whine about paying $6 a month to watch Star Trek, but then also go and spend thousands of dollars. He actually called out the people who pay for the gold tickets at the convention.
Yes,
and pay $1,000 to sit in that seat and have what they have, but they will refuse to pay $6 a month to watch Star Trek on CBS All Access.
That's it. He's officially become my favorite person in all Star Trek history.
Yes.
I say this, I do not want to tell anyone how to spend their money. That's not my job. But you cannot cry to me that you can't watch then. That's my rule. If you don't want to pay, that's your problem. But for the amount of crying that goes on online and on Facebook and everywhere else, I'm sorry you don't like Star Trek enough to pay $6. I do. Deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And when he did that, everyone was like, oh, I mean, there was, and especially when he called out those gold. Oh, my gosh. I was, well, because I'm general, so I'm like way in the back, you know, I'm the cheap seats, you know, and I was like, ooh, you just got burned.
He didn't yell at me. Like,
oh.
Yeah. I mean, and that's been my thing all along. It's just, you know, cut out that one fancy coffee just once a week, once a month even, and there it is.
I don't even care. You can drink all the coffee you want. Just don't cry to me about it. Just don't watch the show. I'm going to pay for it because I want to support my show. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I went out of my way to wait. And actually, there's other things on CBS I like, but I went out of my way to wait until that show was coming on just so my subscription looks like it was specifically for Star Trek.
Oh,
but to bring you back to Rain, he actually just was in Salt Lake at the convention there. So
no longer called Salt Lake Comic Con.
Nope.
It's FanX.
Yep.
Anyway, that's another story for another time.
Brandy was just there, actually, from Warp
5. Brandy would tell y'all about it from Warp 5.
She was just there. I was just talking about it before getting on here with you.
Yeah, she will still call it Salt Lake Comic Con, SLCC.
But anyway, so, I mean, he's making the rounds, which is really great, you know? So I'm not one. I didn't watch The Office, so I don't know a lot of the different characters that he's played. But I did enjoy him as Harry Mudd. I thought it was really great. His facial expressions work really well for the character that we know from TOS. And yes, I'm calling it out, TAS, because he was in it.
That's right.
It's a real series. It really happened, people.
I'm one of the ones who haven't watched.
But, you know, so it's great because it's just, I think he fits that personality and he embodies what Harry Harcourt Fenton Mudd is. And I think it's great. He did a really, really good job. So it'll be exciting to see what we get in this short treks and kind of where they take this story and how maybe we get from Harry Mudd in Discovery to what we see in TOS.
Yeah. You know, listening to Rain on the panel, you know, outside of him being amazing and awesome and calling people out for not watching, I was super impressed with his knowledge of the craft and how much that he studies it, that he learns it, you know, and his experience with it. You know, him being on The Office, that's all that I know him from. And I've only seen a few episodes, but, you know, I'm like, well, here's this comedic actor. Well, if you look at his back catalog and what he mentioned, like he is all over the place and performing just amazing works and that he learns from each one of the parts that he plays. And to listen to him speak, he is so well educated and so involved with what he's doing. Like I just was super impressed. I walked away going, this is a serious actor, which I wouldn't have thought just from watching The Office. And so I was really glad. He was probably the one that I was most pleasantly surprised with in getting to know a little bit better after listening to his panel, because he is so knowledgeable about the craft of acting and the involvement and what he puts into it. And again, he recognizes, just like you were saying, Patrick, that, you know, Harry Mudd has already been played before. So how much are you going to put in your own versus how much are you going to respect what has already been done? And I think he did it brilliantly. I liked his interpretation of Harry Mudd very, very good. And I loved the cause and effect episode on Discovery.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, to add to that a little, actually, we were talking about it on Warp 5, but when is like, when do you pay too much tribute to the fan service? And it could easily have gone very wrong here, because he could have done things that would have made us think even more about TOS and that you would only understand if you watched TOS. But, you know, so my attitude on it is fan service is too much if you had to know the old stuff to appreciate the new. But it's not if you can watch it. Like, if I appreciate it in a different way than, say, someone who's never watched before, then it's done right. So I watch all these shows with my wife who's never watched TOS. So when she doesn't question why he's acting that way or looking that way or doing, but I'm saying, oh, look, that's just like in that episode, then that's perfect. It's done just right, because you can appreciate it without having to do research.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, he played it perfectly. And I'm very glad to know that we're going to have a short track about him, because again, credit to Rainn Wilson, you know, for the writers even saying, yeah, we need another more information and background about Harry Bell because of Rainn Wilson.
And the way that ended, they could still bring him back.
Oh, totally.
You know, he can come back for regular episodes at some point, you know, even if it's just a self-contained episode here or there to break it up, you know.
I mean, he was a fun foil for our Captain Lorca.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
So seeing him, since you mentioned Salt Lake Comic-Con, I mean FanX, was up there. And one of the friends, Sarah, she posted a picture because she got a photo op with him and says, "When there's rain, there's mud." I thought that was so cute.
I like that.
Yeah. So if you'd like to follow Rainn Wilson, he is on Twitter at Rainn Wilson, RainnWilson. All right, guys. So we have done 2 full hours on the amazing actors of Star Trek Discovery. So Haley, give us your final thoughts. What do you think of this great cast?
You know, it's really fun. I am enjoying seeing them together on screen, but then seeing them off screen is really great too, because they have that vibe and that connection with each other, which is really great. I think they're establishing friendships that are going to last them the rest of their lives, just like we got with the TNG crew. You know, they grew to be friends and remain friends to this day. And so I think that's great, because they're going to grow together and support each other through no matter what they do. And that's going to come across as we get further seasons from them with Discovery, however many we get. And I'll follow some of them. Excited to see, you know, where they go after this, because I think Star Trek launches a lot of careers for a lot of people. I mean, gosh, we could talk about that.
Yes. Patrick?
So I kept it simple last podcast, do it again. You know, I want to reiterate what I said last time, that a lot of this cast feels like they really understand what it is to be part of Star Trek, which makes this better for the fans. At least it does for me. Rainn Wilson just became my favorite person of all time for calling people out that spend $1,000 to sit and stare up at him. That's great. I love it, because he's not afraid to do it. And just overall, it's just a common theme. I want to shake the hands of casting, because they picked so many people from so much of a diverse background, whether it be the way they were brought up or how they became actors or what kind of acting they did. Like, and they melded this all together to make a really great cast and a show that, the more I think about the show, the better that show gets, even though we haven't had another episode. And I think that's a hallmark of Star Trek, that the more you spend time thinking about the cast and the actors or the characters or the themes, the better it gets over time. And this cast is really bringing that home.
Yeah, agreed. I am so grateful that I was able to attend STLV last year and this year, and to see just how much presence they are bringing and to Discovery. Like, it's making me enjoy the show on a completely different level that we've never had or been able to access with any other Star Trek iteration. You know, I mean, Enterprise would be the closest, but here we are, you know, seeing the actors come to STLV even before the show has started, you know, and to get the excitement and to, like you said, choose these quality actors that embrace the Star Trek philosophy that isn't fake. We can see the authenticity that they have, and it shines through in the characters and just makes us love Discovery that much more. I really am so impressed by what I've seen with them in person and with their interviews and seeing their presence online. I just am super impressed with this cast and crew, and you know, my love of TNG, and I love them together. And I can't say it just because I love my TNG, but like this crew, this group of actors, like, I'm loving them so much.
Well, to be fair,
I can't put them above, even though I really
think
that
you might
they
be
are.
Able to it by the end, because they're as close now as TNG was at the end.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and not that anyone in TNG was bad, but like, you know,
I know.
It took them longer to grow together.
Right. You know, like, yeah. Patrick Stewart wasn't the fuzziest teddy bear when he first showed up. He couldn't understand American actors, you know? Not that he didn't like them. He just, it wasn't his thing. So, but they're all.
Right.
Even the ones from Europe, they're all kind of the same in that, you know, oh, that's the funny one. So we're okay with that. And this is the serious one. And we're okay with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
They are closer than TNG, though.
Oh, you just had to. Oh,
boom.
Yeah. And with that,
Patrick
we shall
won't be on the show anymore.
The show, yes. We are now looking for new hosts of The Edge. Haley, it looks like you're it. I'll tell Ken and Zach later.
Oh, boy.
All right. Haley, thank you so much for, you know, giving us 2 weeks of your precious time. So glad you could talk Discovery with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me on the first time and then definitely having me back. This was definitely a lot of fun. I probably did not gush as much, which is partly why we had to make it into 2 weeks, because I gushed so much last time. So.
Yeah. So where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter. That's the best place to find me at. I am at Trekkie01D. Not 10, as yes. sometimes is thought. It's 01. And you can also find me over on Standard Orbit here on Trek FM, as well as the Babel Conference, which haven't been there very much lately, but I am there, I promise.
Yes. Well, it's been fun talking about the actors of Discovery today, part 2, but it isn't the only thing we've been discussing here on the network. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Primitive Culture, a look at history and culture through Star Trek.
You know, I remember the freedom of having my own car, and believe it or not, I actually had a Plymouth Fury. It wasn't a 58, right?
No way.
It was a 73, but yeah, my first car was a Plymouth Fury, and the movie was part of the reason why. When I saw that for sale, it was a cheap car. I paid like $500-$300, something like that for it. It was in really
good shape. you really didn't take the message of this movie. You went out and bought one of those cars.
It was yellow, it wasn't red, you know, so.
Who knows? Someone might have sprayed it.
Standard Orbit.
We recorded most of the Shatner episodes. Every now and then we missed. Like, okay, we'll get it next round with Nimoy. We kind of thought it'd be the same thing. It's like, oh, there's going to be no difference. It's just Spock reading it instead of Kirk. No, completely different, right? So it's like, oh, crap. We should have bought 160 tapes instead of 80 for this.
Literary Treks.
I did like the scenes with his family and Riker, you know, spending the night at the home, getting up in the morning, having breakfast with the family. Oh, look, they made him coffee. There was just something really nice and settling about Riker just being in that situation and being treated with such respect and with arms around him, you know, just welcoming him and making him feel at home. And I guess you don't really feel that all that often in many Star Trek stories when you beam down to a planet and you're just welcomed into somebody's home and you're just seeing what a normal, happy family is like.
Warp 5.
That's kind of how Trip acted, though, right? He needed to see this. He needed to actually step in to the situation. And I appreciate that. You know, like, a lot of people give him some flack for being kind of pig-headed, or I think they even almost assume that he has a problem with the three genders. And he's like, no, I don't have a problem with the three genders. I have a problem that this third sex, I guess, they get it wrong. Enterprise, the writers should have said sex the entire time. They should have said sex, but I'm guessing, you know, they're on TV, and if they say sex a whole bunch, they might get the wrong idea.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave a star rating or written review.
If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send a show and select the edge. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at trekfm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. So, Amy, when you're not sitting in the cheap seats making fun of the people up in the front, where can people find you?
I will always be making fun of them because I don't make enough money to get those gold seats. But you can find me here on the network. I co-host Earl Grey with Justin Ozer and Richard Marquez, and that is about Star Trek Next Generation. I am on Twitter at Miss Amy Nelson, and I'm currently tweeting about my Deep Space Nine rewatch, and I am in season 4. And I am on the Babel Conference, so you can find me there. So, Patrick, where can people reach you when you're not planning and saving for STLV-19?
Oh, well, that's always happening, clearly, because yes. I need to get there. But when I'm not doing that, if I have a little bit of free time, you can find me at the Babel Conference. I pop my head up in there once in a while when I'm not on vacation. And you can also find me on Twitter at MagicDrop5. It's one continuous word. The 5 is a digit, not letters. And you can find me over at Warp 5 with my friends Brandon and Brandy. And that's about Star Trek Enterprise.
If you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We'd also like to thank those in the panels that Haley didn't show up to. Norman C. Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Puleo, Lisa Slack, Shoaib Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner. Thank you for supporting Trek FM and The Edge and doing plenty of panels that
that Haley never sees.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Hope she doesn't get upset.
Well, listeners, thank you for listening and join us next time to see what's happening on the edge of Federation space.